Now to these microphones, we bring Dr. John Whitcomb. I have a joy in broadcasting opportunity every single time we talk with Dr. John Whitcomb. A great background, a graduate of Princeton University, a student of God's Word for many years, a prolific author, just a man who has been teaching the Word of God for a number of years and is indeed a man comfortable with the Word of God and what it says for each and every one of us in all subjects and issues. But I want to talk to Dr. John Whitcomb today about a recent NASA report. That would be the Space Agency of the United States. And they came out with a story, 1 in 5 suns has a habitable world. They talked about in this article over 100 billion stars in our universe. That's a B, 100 billion stars out there in our universe. Brother John, we will get to the fact that there is a possibility, the NASA people say, of an inhabitable planet out there with the stars. But when we're talking about a sun, are we not talking about a large star? Is not our sun in our universe for our planet a large star?
It's amazing. The sun is just the right size, the right distance from this planet, and we are tilted at the right tilt in order to have seasons and reference to our orbit around the sun. Amazing to realize there are other things that have to be right. There has to be a moon, just the right distance, the right size. You say, why do we have to have a moon? Because the moon provides for tides. 300 million cubic miles of water had to be what? Oxygenated. Tidal movements make living things possible in the ocean, plant life. And that provides oxygen, you see, for not only the marine creatures, but for the land animals. If the moon suddenly disappeared, what would happen to us? An astronomer, Dr. Donald DeYoung, and I co-authored a book on this called Our Created Moon, and it has now been discovered that if the moon suddenly disappeared, there would be no more tides, of course, on this planet. The oceans would stagnate. There would no longer be enough oxygen for life, either in the ocean or the land, and would all gradually die, and I think you'll agree with me that's serious.
That indeed is serious, but it's so astounding and amazing to me that when the Lord created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is, in the record of creation on day 4, he put the sun up there, he put the moon up there, and of course Colossians 1:17 says all of creation is able to continually go on as it has since the time of creation because Jesus still has control of that. When you're talking, though, about the moon, you're really talking about the reflection of the sun, which is the light that we see from the moon.
That's right. And that moon has various functions. According to Genesis 1, it gives us a clock calendar system. It's an evidence of the glory of God as the creator. And all these things are designed by God to get our attention. So in our co-authored moon book, I mentioned Our Created Moon. We have all these details spelled out beautifully illustrated as a result of the Apollo mission and other studies. More and more things come to light as to the uniqueness, special uniqueness of this planet Earth. And I say thank you, God, for what you've chosen to tell us in your precious word on how we got here and who we are and why we're here.
Now, NASA coming out and saying that 1 in 5 suns. Would there be in our universe additional suns out there? And what qualifies it to be considered a sun as it relates to a large star?
Well, of course, all stars are suns, S-U-N. They provide tremendous radiant energy, as we all know, moving at the speed of light to reach this planet Earth in about 8 minutes. And I say, Lord, thank you for that wonderful light. It didn't just get there by chance, and life didn't get here by chance either. Solar radiation didn't create highly complex microorganisms in the ocean from which we've all supposedly evolved. And I say, thank you, Lord, that the sun has a special, special purpose. Other stars are either too big or they fluctuate and would be deadly in so many different ways. And I say, Lord, thank you for this special sun and this special moon for special things on special planet called Earth.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I know the answer to it because we've talked about this particular issue in times past. I've got it marked in my Bible. It's in the book of Isaiah. But to answer NASA and say that 1 in 5 suns has a habitable world, Why is that not possible according to the Word of God?
Listen carefully to what God said about this. Isaiah 45:18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He's the God who formed the earth and made it. In other words, he's infinitely qualified to talk about this, isn't he? He established it and did not create it, that is earth, a waste place, an uninhabitable place, but he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there's none else. In order to have an inhabited earth, it has to be inhabitable. But that's not enough. To have a planet like this, NASA says we've found millions of other planets out there that are inhabitable. No, that's not enough. It's not enough to be inhabitable. It has to be inhabited. So where did the inhabitants come from to inhabit an inhabitable earth? And I say, Lord, Genesis 1 tells us that only God could have created man and could have created animals, could have created plants, and only he could have brought these irreducibly complex, marvelously designed organisms into existence. So we have a perfect combination here that's unique in the universe, an inhabitable planet that is inhabited. And I say, thank you, God. And especially we know that this is the only planet with anybody living here because Jesus, the creator of the universe, came to this planet 2,000 years ago, not to Mars or Jupiter or somewhere else, to die for our sins. And he's coming back to this planet. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the reason he came here and is coming back here, there's nobody else anywhere else in the universe for whom he came to die in our place because of his love and his grace and his mercy.
Wow. Amen and amen. Well, folks, if you're eavesdropping on this conversation, you can understand the joy that I have when I talk to Dr. John Whitcomb. Always blesses my heart, excites me about what God's Word has to say. Dr. John, thank you so very much, my dear friend. I know you're not feeling too well today. We'll be praying for you and that the Lord will bless you. And thank you for talking with us. We'll talk again real soon.
God be with you. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.